To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
WGTD is supported by UW Parkside. Parkside has online options to make it easier to return to school and complete your bachelor's degree. Complete your business degree online at UW Parkside. Learn more at uwp.edu/online. That's uwp.edu/online.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Well, good morning and welcome to Education Matters. My name is Mike Kehoe. I'm your host for this week. I'm one of the four rotating hosts, or is it five now? I don't know. We'll all be together next week for a joint program. Can't tell you exactly how that's going to turn out. We have no idea whether it's going to be successful or a disaster. But at any rate, I'm Mike Kehoe. This is Education Matters. This is Saturday, March 4th, if you're listening to it live. And with me are Rebecca Stevens, a member of the Kenosha School Board and head of RSVP. We'll explain that a little later. And Kayla Olson, who's with the Foster Grandparent Program. And why don't you each introduce yourselves and maybe say a little bit about your program. We're not on television, so there's no name coming up under your voices, and if you say something, people will be able to, in the audience, will be able to recognize you, who's speaking.
All right. Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here. I like your program, Education Matters. It does matter, and I like what you do on this program, and I'm honored to be a guest here, so thank you for inviting us. As you spoke, I'm in the RSVP director at Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services, CAFASI, here in town. I've been there for just over 2 years, and the main program I run is a mentoring program in the Kenosha Unified Schools. RSVP stands for Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, and so I work with people that are 55 years and older that volunteer in our community in various assignments. And the main program that I run is the mentoring program in Kenosha Unified Schools. We're in 26 schools at this time.
Okay, Kayla.
Thank you so much for having us. Pleasure to be here with both of you today. I am the supervisor of the Goodwill Foster Grandparent Program, which is an opportunity also for 55 and older. It's an opportunity to give back to the community and connect generations. It's building a bond with the wisdom and experience of the foster grandparents to enrich lives of children of Racine and Kenosha counties. Foster grandparents volunteer 50 hours or more per week and are placed in classrooms working one-on-one with students that are identified by the teachers. Goodwill has supported the program since 1993, so we're very lucky to be in both Racine and Kenosha counties.
Okay, I think you said 50, and I think you meant 15.
15 hours 15 per hours week. Week, yes, right. Excuse me.
Although I should let the audience know that I'm also a foster grandparent volunteer at this time. I have been for, this is my fourth year, I volunteer at Bullen Middle School. And most of the volunteers work more than 15 hours, I would say.
Yes, yes. Our average is anywhere from 20 hours to 30 hours per week currently.
And from those that I'm familiar with, in Kenosha at least, many of them do hours that don't get on the log. A lot of them will stay after school and do other things as well.
Yes, we're very fortunate to have the volunteers in our county, and especially in the foster grandparent program, that they're willing to go over and beyond no matter what their schedule says. So, yes, that is very true.
And I think we don't, really don't have a chart that we put together for this program. There are some things that we want to get across to our audience, and one of them is the nature of mentoring, the satisfaction that one gets from it, and its effectiveness and its importance. And when we talk about the number of hours that people put in and the extra things that they do, a lot of folks get the impression that it's sacrifice. And I don't think any of us who does it feels that we're sacrificing anything. For me, I won't say how many hours I put in, but I put in a lot of hours, and I think it's the most important thing I can be doing with my life at this point, being in my 70s and retired, and still being able to do something that gives me satisfaction and that has value. And
it's interesting that you say that, Mike, because that's what I always hear from my volunteers, the mentors that I work with, and I work with approximately 70 mentors at this time. And the way our RSVP program, mentoring program, works is they mentor between 30 and 45 minutes a week. So it's not a large amount of time, but it's time they always say is so well spent. And they always walk away from their experiences saying, you know, I got so much more out of it than what I gave. And just spending that time with the children really enlightens them and lifts them up, too, to make them feel good about giving back to the next generation in our community. And it's so important. And those connections that are made just help kids realize that these mentors are showing up once a week to see them because they care. Nothing more, nothing less. They care. And boy, does that speak volumes to young people these days, just to hear, hey, I have a mentor that shows up for me because they care about me. And I mean, that's wonderful. And I know with a foster grandparent, it's the same experience in as well. To be able to give back to your community, it's amazing. I'm always blessed and feel really encouraged after visiting the schools and spending time with the mentors and the mentees. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, I know our foster grandparents and any mentor, I think, in the community, a sense of purpose is what I hear a lot. Giving them purpose to be there every day, being able to work with that child, and just being part of the community. It always, this program and mentoring in general, just reminds me of the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. And our mentors of Kenosha County, Racine County, are a part of that village. So I definitely feel the same way about it. It gives them a sense of purpose. And then it's a win-win for everybody involved.
Yeah, the energy flows both ways. And that's one of the things that I think makes it so effective. Because you are there for them more often, and the teachers always say that, you know, I wish I had as much time to spend with the kids as you do. What you're doing is direct instruction, which begins with developing a personal relationship. And because you work with a smaller number of people, a smaller number of students, than the teacher has to focus on, you can really develop a relationship with the child. They will get to trust you. And so many of the kids that you work with as a mentor, if I say mediator, well, we're doing this program, I mean mentor. Mediation is something else I was very involved in during my life. But the key to mentoring is to develop that personal relationship. And once you develop that relationship, the energy flows back and forth. You get as much out of it as you give.
Yeah, and that's a key thing for me to stress, too, for our program with RSVP mentoring, is that it is a relationship-based program. And so you start from where you're at. The way our program works is you fill out an enrollment form at CAFASI, indicating that you want to be a mentor. And then the next step would be you also fill out a permission slip for a background check through Kenosha Unified. Once that information comes back, the next step we take with our program is an orientation training. And so we go through a very strong orientation and training with our mentors so that they understand what our program is all about and how it's just about, to begin with, building that relationship and showing them what a healthy relationship is. And then the next step with our, after we get the training and orientation done, we check with the school counselor or whoever the contact person is there at the school. And they always, by the way, and I know you guys know this too, they always have a waiting list for kids that can use a mentor. And so they're so appreciative, whatever we can do to bring on board more mentors, they are always looking for good mentors. And then the next step with that, after they find a student, and the students for our program, the parent has to sign a parent permission slip, giving permission for that student to have a mentor. And then what we do after that comes back, we have what's called a mentor match meeting. And at that mentor match meeting, we sit down with the counselor and the mentor, and we visit, we find out a little bit about why the student's been identified as needing a mentor. And then the next step we take from there, after we've had a little discussion, find out the day, the time, the place, is they call down the mentee, which is the student. And then the student gets the opportunity to meet the mentor meets the student, and it's a lot of fun. They just exchange a little bit of information back and forth for a few minutes, and then the counselor or the facilitator at the school says, would you like to have, you know, Mr. Jones as your mentor? And I've never seen a kid say no. And they've always get this big smile on their face, and they're so happy. So I get to be part of that meeting too. And it's just such a blessing, because you see this child light up almost immediately that someone's going to take the time out of their day just to come see me for 30 to 45 minutes once a week at the school. And we're going to learn about each other and enjoy a relationship that's really special to them. So, and then we do a follow-up meeting with them as well. So it's a lot of fun for me. I enjoy it, and I get to be in the schools a lot too.
Yeah, I know you were at my school yesterday.
Yep.
At Bullen Middle School. Did the mediator arrive? And did
I've had several. I have about three or four mentors over at Bullen now. So
Oh, good. Yes.
And so it's cool. The other pieces is the mentors can identify what grade level they want to start with and if they'd like to work with a male or a female. And usually the males work with males and females work with females. And then what school they'd like to be at. If they don't need anyone at that time at that school, I try to match them and I say, would you mind going to another school where I know they have the parent permission slip signed? And typically they're pretty flexible, and they're usually pretty flexible with the grade too, between 1 and 3, you know, if they want. But we go from kindergarten all the way through high school. And so we have mentors in the high school now too, so they'll be watching their students graduate. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And some of them have been with them since third grade.
Oh.
So that's really cool.
And I think the two programs complement each other, because your program provides an opportunity for people to get involved who don't have the ability or the inclination to put in a minimum of 15
Absolutely.
Hours a week.
Yes, because that's a big commitment.
Very big commitment.
Yes.
We definitely understand it's a very big commitment for mentors in our community. But I have to say, the mentors we receive, they, like we were speaking before, they do even more. So once you get in there and, you know, we have the same process of the orientation and training and shadowing. We definitely want to ensure that there's a level of comfortableness with going back into the schools. And then we are placing you with a teacher, an identified teacher. And again, you can have your preference of grades, but we try to do what schools' needs are. But
so what you do is you are not so much matching the mentor with the student. You're matching the mentor with the school and with the class and with the teacher.
Yeah.
And then the mentor relationships with the students develop over the course of the school year.
Yeah, they evolve on their own, pretty much.
They certainly do.
Yes, they do.
I'm working with kids right now that I never expected I would be working with at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. And those students are identified by the teacher then?
Yes.
More with the foster grandparents,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we work with students, the foster grandparents work with students that are identified as might needing extra help just to succeed,
sure,
academically or even socially.
Yep.
That has been very common now for us within the last couple of years, that social aspect has really increased for us as well, probably with your
yep.
program
we
as well.
That.
Just,
yes.
you know, just it's so, like Rebecca was saying, just to have someone be there every day and just to have them say good morning to you, and it's just, like I said before, a win-win for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to the mentors, and then having that student just light up when they see them. So,
yeah, the social aspect, particularly for middle school, which is where I'm at, is very often such a series of speed bumps for kids who are transitioning from elementary school, where they've been with the same kids all the time. Suddenly
mm-hmm.
they're in a completely different social situation, which a middle school is. It's a lot like a high school.
They're swimming in a much larger pool.
Yes, and you're going from you're meeting all these kids that you've never met before, and you aren't seeing the kids that you used to see every day, and you're going from classroom to classroom. You're not in the same classroom. You don't have the same teacher. And you're getting older, and the boy and girl thing is starting to develop, and all these social things get in the way of learning.
They can, yes.
And so I think middle school teachers would tell you that they spend more than half their time dealing with the social issues.
Yep. It's a very prevalent age for that, so I think it's really cool that you're placed at a middle school and working with the students you are, because it takes an extra special gift to be able to do that, Mike. And I think that, I know last year you were honored by the Kenosha Unified as one of the volunteers of the year, and well-deserved, because it takes a talent to do what you're doing at that middle school level. But I see that the kids are connecting with you.
And no offense to the board or administrators or anybody, but the event they held for me at the school meant more for me than the
I'm
than
sure
the,
it did
the ceremony, because some of my students from previous years that I'd worked with came back, and
that's wonderful.
It was
how
it was
long
delightful.
Have you been doing this then, Mike?
Well, I've been doing this. This is my fourth year
with the Boston.
Prior to that, I'd been a substitute teacher, primarily a long-term substitute teacher, or full-time,
mm-hmm.
I would teach full-time, but I'd be going from one school to the next. I had some wonderful years where I was at a school for an entire year, but then you still have the trauma at the end of the year of the complete cutoff taking place.
Right.
And when you come back to that school the next year, on a temporary basis, you're not a part of the family anymore, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of teachers retire and think, I'll be a substitute teacher, and they find out that they're not accepted in the same sense. They aren't a part of the family the way they were.
Right,
and,
right.
And me having the opportunity to be at the same place, especially at Bullen, which is a place I subbed in a lot for several years, has made me a part of the family over there, and that is also something that's really important.
It is. And I think we see that with our mentors when they walk into the building, how happy everyone is to see them. And I can tell you, when I do my visits, people come up to me that work there, the principals, the teachers, and thank me and thank the mentors for their dedication to that student and how important it is. And it's hard to You know, we live in the day and age of data and measurements and the qualitative and quantitative and all this, the different ways we measure things, but sometimes it's hard to sum it up. But I can tell you, I'll tell you a quick little story that I think was just so much fun. A mentor shared with me that she's mentoring a little guy over at Stoker, and he said to her, "Can you come every day?" And she said, "No, I can only come once a week. That's all I can do. I wish I could come every day, but I can't." And he says, "Well, I think they need somebody to work here. Could you work here?" And she says, "No, I'm retired now, so I'm not working full-time anymore." So she left and came back the next week, and the little boy had gone and found out that they needed somebody in the lunchroom and said, "But they need somebody to work in the lunchroom. Are you sure you don't want that job so I can see you every day?" And so it's just those wonderful relationships that are built in a short period of time, really. And these kids are, they really adore their mentors, and they really appreciate that special time with them. Makes a difference.
And just to kind of piggyback off of that, even when we have foster grandparents that might be out for a couple weeks, they're still missed in their in their schools. I have several volunteers tell me how many get well cards they received that week, because the students, not even the ones that they're paired up with, the whole classroom is asking, "Where are they? It's Tuesday. She should or he should be here." So it is very much part of the school community. I know that my volunteers, they're all of them are just so grateful for all the hugs they get even every day. But it's such a great sense of community to have.
One of the keys to being effective with kids in this kind of a setting is to be dependable, to show them that you respect education, because you are always there on the day that you're supposed to be there. In my case, teachers are at so many meetings and other things that take them out of their classroom. I am in school more with the students that I'm working with. I'm with them more than their regular teachers are. Yeah. And apart from anything else I do, just the fact that I continue to come there says something to them about the importance that I put in education that maybe they should latch on to. Because
yep.
Consistency goes a long way with so many people.
Yeah, a lot of these kids, just like in foster care, a lot of these kids have, their experience with adults has been that they're not to be trusted. And so they will often trust a mentor where they wouldn't trust someone else, because they know that you're there because you're a volunteer.
Yep, and you're showing up, and I like to say you're their constant.
Yes.
And don't we all need a constant in our life? I think in my own life, especially if you're going through a rough time, if you have that one constant that you can focus on, that person's going to be there for you regardless of whatever situation, whatever, anything that arises, that person you can always count on to be there for you. And a lot of times that's what our mentors are doing in our schools when they go in. They're a constant. I have another mentor who followed his student to 6 different schools over the course of 4 years. And, you know, it was just such a blessing to that student, because he knew that no matter what, even if I'm in a different school, Mike's going to show up for me. He's going to be there for me. And that makes a difference. And as you know, with a higher poverty level, many of our students, there's a lot more mobility. So they don't have that steady home that they're living in the same neighborhood. So they're moving a lot. So these mentors that, I haven't had a mentor yet that hasn't said, "I'll follow them to whatever school that they end up in." And they've done it, and it makes a world of difference to that student. Just like you said, Mike, with the kids knowing you're going to be there because you gave them your word, and you're going to show up, and you're going to be there, and you're showing them how important education is by showing up.
Very often they will come to you with issues that they would not talk to a teacher or an administrator or a social worker about.
Yep.
And one of the valuable things that that we often do with our kids is that we're able to give the staff information and insight into what kind of problems that kid may be dealing with outside of school that
yep.
are affecting.
And why that child might be acting out at that particular time, because they might not have anybody to talk to, and thankfully they have you. And then if you're not there, sometimes maybe the staff doesn't understand what's going on, but they can share something with you, and you can share it with the staff, knowing in confidence that they'll understand that child better. And that makes a world of difference, too. Recently, I just matched a little girl with a mentor, and her mother had died back about a year ago, and that little gal immediately told the mentor about her mother passing. And she needed somebody to talk to that was completely out of the situation, and the mentor handled it so well and just said, okay, you can talk to me about that, or you can talk to me about whatever you need to, because that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. And things just moved right on, so children are looking for someone that they can, outside of the regular everyday classroom teacher and their peers, that they can share with, because it's a heavy burden otherwise for them to carry.
Yeah, we have monthly meetings, in-service meetings. We take care of paperwork, but then there's a lot of conversation that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that impresses me, and Kayla, you probably have noticed this too, is in the conversations that that I have with the other foster grandparents that I don't get to see other than these meetings, when they talk about their situations, I'm impressed at the skill and COPD, the skill and the professionalism that they have. I think that the people from the Kenosha Unified School District who came and gave us a presentation about autism were quite impressed with the sophistication of our foster grandparents with the questions that they asked.
I agree, definitely. All of our volunteers and mentors, they take an active role in keeping up with what they need to be in order to assist and help. They're constantly taking homework home or constantly trying to educate themselves to assist in any way they can. So it's pretty amazing to sit back and watch a group of volunteers that I have just tremendous respect and just truly blessed to be a part of. But they are just willing to go over and beyond to do what's necessary.
Yeah. We have what's called a mentor support group meeting once a month, and we meet, and we always have a great turnout, and I bring in special guest speakers, inform them of different things that are happening within the schools themselves, inform them of opportunities, so if they have questions about a child's health or their mental health or, their status, and so we bring in a wide variety of people from different backgrounds, from social services to former teachers to, people that just share, like my third grade teacher, Mary Beth, coming in and sharing, these are fun things you can do with your mentee. And, these are ways that you can share together and find out more about each other, because they want to learn about you, too, as a mentor. It's that one thing that they'll share with about themselves, but they really want to know you, too. And so we put a lot of tools in place and spend a lot of time. That's an hour and a half once a month. And like Mike mentioned, when the mentors share with each other, that's powerful too. And we share and brainstorm on different solutions if there's a problem, or I'm using this to communicate a certain message to my student. I play this game and they share that information with each other. And it's very powerful. So, and it's fun to see that, how engaged they are in what they're doing. Like you said, Kayla, mm-hmm. they go above and beyond, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
When you were talking earlier, you mentioned something about the willingness to follow kids from one school to another. And I was thinking of, well, Kayla knows who Grandma Love is. She wouldn't want me to mention her name here. But developed in the course of our conversations over a long period of time, that we realized that we had both lived in rural Alabama in the same county.
Wow.
Back in around 1960. And she's black and I'm white, and my school didn't have any particular program for Black History Month. So we got together and we put one together ourselves. She works in an elementary school that is a feeder school for Bola.
Right.
And she was surprised to find out how many of her former students were there.
Wow.
And they had quite an interesting conversation, emotional conversations both ways. They were happy that she remembered them, and she was happy for the same reason that that they remembered her and appreciated her.
See, and it's great.
Because of her presence, we had less classroom management issues in that class than we would otherwise have had.
She's back, and they wanted to show her that they're doing what they're supposed to do, no doubt.
Right, and we were able to open some eyes about what education was like in the South during the Jim Crow days.
I bet you were.
And in particular, her experience to communicate the importance of education and how much of a price people paid.
So everyone could have that opportunity.
So hopefully they would think more seriously about their studies and appreciate the benefit that they have here.
That's great.
That's amazing.
And, and that's just the story right there in and of itself, too. So she had them at the elementary level.
Right.
And they hadn't seen her for probably some of them for a couple of years.
Probably, yeah.
Or a year at least.
Eighth grade class, so it would have been 2 years.
2 years.
Two, 3 years.
And so she shows up on the scene, and they're so happy to see her. That's the impact. That's the impact that sometimes, people don't get to see it. And boy, when they see you again and you're there for them, you've been there for them, they remember that. And that does play a part in their positive development as they move forward, too, because they can remember, oh, this person cares about me and always did. And that's important to be able to identify that you have that special person that cares about you in your lifetime.
No matter how many years went by.
That's right.
Well, we're getting to the point where we have just about 10 minutes left, and there was something else that we had talked about before the show that we wanted to get into, and that is when you're involved in providing social services that requires some funding, or that is helped by some funding from government agencies. You are always living in a world of uncertainty.
Absolutely.
Things are always changing. When I was in treatment foster care, there was an annual program, and no one knew for sure whether their agency or some other agency was going to have the program, and whether there was going to be that kind of continuity from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, you've been in RSVP for some time. That situation has, with respect to RSVP and foster grandparent, has existed as well. You kind of have to live in today and tomorrow, and constantly keep dealing with new situations. And we've been doing that in particular for
Absolutely.
The last several months, and we don't know what things we may be facing beginning, say, summer school. So maybe you could...
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that a bit. Currently, we are not sure if the Corporation for National and Community Service is going to be funded under the new administration in Washington. RSVP, foster grandparent, and senior companion fall under Senior Corps. We are funded through Senior Corps under the Corporation of National and Community Service. And then the other program that is also funded through the Corporation of National and Community Service is AmeriCorps, AmeriCorps Vista, and those programs as well. Well, at one point recently, in the we were on the list, the proposed list to be cut. So we are trying to work together as a community and nationally to make sure that these important volunteer programs continue to be funded. The money that's put into funding these programs is really not very much at all, considering the number of volunteer hours that come back to us in dollars themselves. So we need to advocate for these programs to be the continued funding at the national level, and that's through the Corporation of National and Community Service. So we need to reach out to our representatives and let them know how important they are to us as a community and what we do. And I've been working on educating my legislators with this. I've reached out to Tammy Baldwin's office, I've reached out to Paul Ryan's office, and I've reached out to Ron Johnson's office. I got to talk to Tammy Baldwin's staffer, and that was very helpful, and to one of Paul Ryan's staffers. I happened to find somebody in the office that's here in town, so, and I spoke to him, but haven't heard back from Ron Johnson yet. But we really need to advocate for these programs and the funding, the continued funding, in order to continue the wonderful work we're doing, not only with the mentor program, but for me, with RSVP, we have volunteers that help at the Kenosha Literacy Council, the public museums. As you know, Mike, you've been a volunteer there.
Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club. I can go on and on about the Shalom Center Food Pantry. So we have volunteers that are spending a lot of hours in many areas. I have what's called 52 stations. So that's 52 community nonprofits that are experiencing great support from our volunteers. So we need to advocate that that funding is continued. It's really well worth the investment. The payback is much higher than what is invested. And it takes people to run these programs, and that's what Kayla and I are blessed to do. I feel very fortunate to be able to do something that I love so much.
Right, exactly.
You know, don't you?
Yes.
It's such a blessing to be able to do it. But yes, we do need funding, and we need that funding to continue to be able to have that impact on our community in a positive way. So
you wouldn't think that that there would be a problem with regard to agencies like this that are in the list that you mentioned, that are based primarily on volunteerism, because from the time of Ronald Reagan, the emphasis has been on shifting the load from government programs as much as possible to community-based, volunteer-based, church-based, similarly based programs.
Absolutely.
But they still need some seed money. They need enabling money.
Right.
I think one of the things that happens is that anytime there's a change of administration, and I'm not just talking about the Trump administration, I'm talking about when you have a change in the county executive or the county board or the state legislature or something.
Sure.
New people come in who have big plans, and they're looking at large umbrella items in the budget and want to cut those or change those or make some sort of adjustments to them. And they don't know the details of all the little programs,
right?
The smaller programs that are not big budget items, but that are dependent on this umbrella for their existence.
Correct. And really, it's just working to educate, hopefully, the legislators and the people that are looking at the budget numbers, and really educating them on what we do and how much bang for our buck we actually get out of these programs. It's a very small investment. But it's a very strong investment, people-wise, volunteer, hour-wise, in our local communities. And we can't have enough support for programs such as these. And whatever you can do to reach out and talk to people about it. And if you want more information, I can share that gladly. Just reach out to me. Be happy to share information. I know Kayla would. Whatever information we can share to help with that, I'd be happy to do that.
Good. If you can give us some of that information, we'll also put it on our website.
Will do.
But as you're saying that, I'm reminded that we live with these changes if we're in these kinds of programs, and we cope with them and keep riding with them, and yet we survive. And the reason we survive is that the determination and the dedication of the volunteers is one of the constants that we
absolutely
have. And the need is a constant that we have. And so the funding and the personnel that that we have to work with may change, but we will always survive in some form or another.
Right, and I think when you think about volunteers, especially, I speak more to where this program's about mentoring. So when they go into the schools, I think what's really amazing to me, the respect that they have for all the work that's going on daily in those schools and how hard the staff works to make it happen. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention all the wonderful people that make this mentoring possible. And it's because of those counselors, those teachers that care so much in the schools each and every day.
Principals
mm-hmm. across the board. That's the staff at the school is really that what makes those programs happen. And the volunteers' willingness to be part of that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would have been staying awake tonight thinking about how I'd forgotten to mention that. But the schools have had difficult times in recent years, and I have so much respect for the teachers who stayed.
Yep.
We've got a lot of young teachers. They wouldn't be able to do their job if it weren't for the fact that there's a cadre of hardcore, dedicated teachers who are still there.
Yep. And to be able to, I think it's good for our community, if you're thinking of volunteering as a mentor, it's a great opportunity to get into the schools and really see what's going on, to get a better understanding of what our staff does day in and day out to support each student in the best way possible, and how hard they're working to do that, to make a difference for the future and build our kids up in a way that's positive.
Okay, well, we've got about a minute and a half left. Maybe the two of you could each give some contact information out again, and then it'll be about time for us to wrap it up. But for people who might want to get involved.
Okay, for the foster grandparent program, and that's the opportunity for 55 and older to do a minimum of 15 hours per week, you can feel free to call me at 262-833-1629, or you can visit the Goodwill Industries of Southeastern Wisconsin website at www.goodwillsew.com.
And for me, Rebecca Stevens, you can reach me at 658-3508, extension 115. That's at CAFASI, Kenosha Area Family and Aging Services. And again, that's 658-3508, extension 115. Or shoot me an email at rstevens@kafasi, kafasi.org. Our website, too, is www.kafasi.org.
Okay, and with that, we'll have to wrap it up. My name is Mike Kehoe. I've been your host for this episode of Education Matters. Please tune again next week. And thanks to Kayla Olson from Foster Grandparent and Rebecca Stevens from RSVP. And we'll turn you back to Mr. Cole.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
I'm Gregory Berg, and Monday's morning show begins with Hope Yeren, whose book Lab Girl is a beautifully written memoir about her life as a scientist. We will also reacquaint you with the inspiring story of Racine's Steve Koss, his battle with cancer, and his determination to create the Koss Family Foundation. Support comes from Carthage College. Family Fun Night, Friday evening, March 10th, is part of the school's week-long Arts and Creativity Festival. In the Hedberg Library that evening, families can enjoy the musical Moon Rabbit, as well as a musical instrument petting zoo. The event is free. Support comes from the App Factory at UW Parkside. Is your business or nonprofit